On the 142nd day of the U.S.-Israeli genocide in Gaza, fresh airstrikes by the Israeli regime hit a residential area, resulting in the loss of Palestinian lives. More Israeli soldiers have been killed in the Gaza Strip as Palestinian resistance fighters continue to battle the occupation forces. Plus, the Yemeni armed forces say it's targeted American vessels in the Red Sea and the Gulf of Aden as the U.S. and the U.K. conduct fresh raids on the country. I'm Behrouz Najafi. It's good to have you with us. The U.S.-Israeli genocidal war in Gaza is in its 142nd day, with continued massive aerial and artillery strikes on the besieged strip. According to the health ministry in Gaza, Israeli attacks have killed at least 86 Palestinians in the past day. Warplanes bombed a residential block in Beit Lahia, north of Gaza, killing or injuring a number of civilians. Meanwhile, the Israeli army carried out multiple aerial and artillery attacks on Al Zeitun neighborhood, south of Gaza City, with numerous victims remaining trapped under rubble. Nearly 29,700 people have been killed in Israeli attacks in Gaza since 7th of October. Most of them are women and children. We're joined by our correspondent in Deir al-Bala earlier, Matia Bamusaba. Provide us with details regarding the latest Israeli strikes.
The Israeli warplanes and the Israeli artillery maintain their strikes and attacks against several areas of Gaza Strip. Here in the central area of Gaza Strip, Al-Nusayrat refugee camp was under heavy bombardments and airstrikes over the last night as the Israeli artillery maintained its shelling. And the Israeli military boats actually opened their gunfire at the coastal areas of the same refugee camp. In Khan Yunis city, the situation is still catastrophic and hyper-hazardous for the Palestinian people there as the Israeli warplanes launched a series of the airstrikes against the western part of the city, while the eastern parts were targeted by the Israeli artillery as well. In Rafah city, the Israeli forces and the Israeli warplanes renewed and resumed their airstrikes against the areas near the borders with Egypt, knowing that the area is completely overwhelmed and overcrowded with the people. Dozens of the Palestinian casualties were reported over that attack. In Gaza City, three Palestinian civilians were reportedly killed after the Israeli warplanes destroyed a residential building in Asabra neighborhood, which is located in the center of Gaza City. At the same time, the Israeli warplanes resumed and renewed their attacks against the northern part of Gaza Strip. Beit Lahia city was under heavy bombardments. Another residential building was destroyed by the Israeli warplanes. Dozens of the Palestinian people were reportedly killed and injured, while dozens are still trapped and missing under that rubble, which was destroyed in Ash-Shaima neighborhood, located in the center of Beit Lahia city. So we are talking about continuous Israeli airstrikes covering all areas of Gaza Strip. In the meantime, the Palestinian resistance maintained their counterattacks against the Israeli occupation forces, particularly in the eastern parts of Khan Yunis city and even in the Zaytun neighborhood, where the Palestinian resistance factions announced that they have targeted several Israeli tanks and they have engaged in multiple clashes and gunfights with the Israeli occupation forces.
The more Israeli troopers are killed in Gaza as Palestinian resistance groups fight off the occupation forces on the ground. The Israeli military says two of its personnel, one of them a commander, have been killed in the Palestinian territory since Saturday. The two were killed in separate incidents in southern and northern Gaza. According to the military, fighting in the south also left an Israeli officer and two troopers seriously wounded. The regime has confirmed the death of 239 of its forces in Gaza since it began the incursion into the territory. Palestinian groups, however, say that Israel is hiding the real number of the deaths of its troopers in an attempt at damage control. Israel has decided to send a delegation to Qatar to continue talks on a ceasefire agreement with the Hamas resistance movement. According to Israeli media, the regime's delegation will be lower in level than those that took part in the Paris conference. Talks on a ceasefire agreement, including a prisoner exchange deal, resumed in the French capital on Friday. Those in attendance included the Mossad and CIA chiefs, Qatari Prime Minister, and Egyptian intelligence chief. Hamas leader Ismail Haniyeh, meantime, has been holding talks with Egyptian mediators in Cairo. Talks try to reach an agreement before the beginning of the month of Ramadan in the first half of March. Israel is under pressure from the international community, including its own allies, to stop the genocidal war in Gaza. Hamas has demanded a complete and permanent ceasefire, as well as the full pullout of Israeli troops from Gaza, terms that Israel has rejected. Lebanon's Hezbollah resistance movement has launched rocket attacks on Israeli military positions in northern occupied territories. They are in response to the regime's targeting civilians in southern Lebanon. Our correspondent in Lebanon, Mariam Saleh, joined us earlier with details.
As usual, we have continuous hit for tat operations from the resistance, and also the continuous Israeli shelling. Yesterday, there was very heavy shelling on the towns of Taira and Barashit. Hezbollah also targeted the headquarters, the regional eastern headquarters, 769, for the Israeli military. They said that was in retaliation for the targeting of civilian areas, especially in the town of Barashit, where they said they targeted, of course, several houses. They destroyed a big portion of neighborhoods in that town specifically. And so, therefore, Hezbollah, when they retaliated, they used Katyusha rockets, which has become a norm after every time there is a target for civilians. Hezbollah uses Katyusha rockets, even against military targets. This morning, Hezbollah has targeted the Ramim post. Also, they said they targeted a group of soldiers. We know from Israeli media that there were at least three rockets that were launched from Lebanon into the Ramim area. And the civilians, of course, in South Lebanon have been targeted. We also have seen how the Israelis are trying to find targets for Hezbollah, even in Syria. As you mentioned, we have in some cases seen that there was a targeting of Hezbollah fighters in other areas. The Israeli intelligence was not very accurate, and so therefore they targeted civilians. And the same is happening in South Lebanon. They have claimed on several instances that they were targeting infrastructure for Hezbollah's Redwan forces or Hezbollah's military. However, the targets that fell were civilian. We are seeing an increased number of civilians fall as a result.
American and British fighter jets have carried out fresh raids across Yemen in their fourth joint operation against the Arab nation. The air raids hit the province of Sana'a, Taiz, and Hatja. Several locations, including a pesticide factory and telecommunications networks, were targeted. That as the Yemeni army has targeted an American oil tanker and several warships with missiles in the Red Sea and the Gulf of Aden. The Yemeni army says that such operations will continue in response to attacks by the U.S. and the U.K. and in solidarity with Palestinians in Gaza. Iran has meantime denounced the latest strikes on Yemen, saying that Washington and London are trying to escalate tensions and crises in the region. Now, meantime, Yemenis are adamant in their support for Palestine, despite the U.S. airstrikes on their country. Now, people saying that Yemen is fighting for Gaza and will not be affected by hostile acts of Israel's Western allies.
Strikes will not affect us. We are now fighting for Gaza. We will not be deterred by the strikes of the Israelis and the Americans, no matter what. We are used to war. We have been in war for 9 years. The war will not harm us. It is either we achieve victory for Palestine, or we will walk on foot to Palestine to free it from the Israelis.
Your strikes will not intimidate or scare us. We will keep on supporting Gaza with all the power that we have.
We will not be scared of the airstrikes that hit us, and we will not be frustrated. They've been striking us for 9 years, and we will not be scared. God willing, we will get victory for Gaza and Palestine.
Welcome back. Thousands of junior doctors in the UK have walked off their jobs yet again. It's a 5-day strike, the second this year, and a 10th walkout in a year over a long-running pay dispute with the government. As Saipuruza reports, the stalemate has left the doctors feeling demoralized and led them to think of seeking employment abroad.
No picket lines over the weekend here, but the strike action is on. Thousands of National Health Service junior doctors, who form half of the doctors' workforce in England, walk off the job. Their demands, the same as the last time we talked to them.
Because of this erosion of pay over all this time, we've been seeing problems with staff recruitment and retention, and we've been hemorrhaging people either out of medicine completely or to other countries that are willing to recruit us and pay us basically the rates we were being paid 15 years ago. And so the message from the BMA has always been to try and get that pay back to 2008 levels.
In other words, a 35% pay rise to make up for previous below-inflation pay rises. An extra 3% on top of the average of nearly 9% received last year was being discussed before talks between the government and the BMA, the trade union for doctors, broke down in December. But the walkouts come at a cost. They're happening at a critical time of year when hospitals are especially busy dealing with the challenges of the cold season and with an NHS waiting list at a staggering 7.6 million. Over 1.3 million hospital appointments had to be rescheduled since the industrial action began over a year ago. And yet, the striking doctors continue to enjoy the support of over half of Britons.
The doctors say they're doing this to bring the government back to the negotiating table and to get it to recognize their value. They're also saying that feeling undervalued and being underpaid is pushing them to seek jobs abroad.
The BMA says 4 in 10 doctors plan to leave the NHS at the first opportunity. The government says it won't negotiate while the strikes are ongoing.
There's an overall focus on privatization, which means the health care insurance companies will be taking over many aspects of the running and resources of health. And that's led to record low wages, especially compared to a massive inflation and cost of living crisis, so that it no longer justifies the cost of training in terms of the actual remuneration. Medical students are leaving with medical school with £100,000 worth of debt, and they're not looking to pay that off for well over a decade. Whereas if they go to other countries, simply next door, Ireland or Australia, they can immediately double their wage.
The British government seems nowhere near loosening its purse strings. But the consensus is that the longer these strikes grind on, the wider the damage. Saipuruza, London.
The leaders of the Economic Community of West African States, ECOWAS, have decided to lift the economic and financial sanctions with immediate effect on the Niger Republic. They also demand the immediate release of former president of Niger, Mohamed Bazoum. Our correspondent has details from Nigerian capital Abuja.
The summit of ECOWAS leaders, which ended in Abuja, the Nigerian capital, resolved that closure of air and land borders between ECOWAS countries and Niger is to be lifted in addition to other sanctions.
No-fly zone of all commercial flights to and from Niger is to be lifted. Suspension of all commercial and financial transactions between ECOWAS member states and Niger is to be lifted. Freezing of all service transactions, including utility services, is to be lifted. Freezing of assets of the Republic of Niger in ECOWAS central banks is to be lifted.
However, the ECOWAS meeting called for the ruling authority in Niger to provide an acceptable transition timetable to constitutional order. The ECOWAS leader said the decision to lift the sanctions was based on humanitarian considerations, especially as people are in the month of Lent and the holy month of Ramadan approaches. The meeting asked the three countries that exited the ECOWAS, that are Niger, Burkina Faso, and Mali, to reconsider the decisions in view of the benefits the countries and their citizens enjoy in the regional bloc, especially the hundreds of millions of dollars of projects and programs, notably the Food Security Reserve. The ECOWAS leaders therefore urged the three member states that exited the regional body to resort to dialogue, negotiation and mediation to address their concerns.
The authority has also instructed the president of the commission to invite Burkina Faso, Niger, Mali and Guinea to attend technical and consultative meetings of ECOWAS, as well as all security-related meetings.
The three West African countries exited the ECOWAS and established what they called the Sahel Alliance after ECOWAS resolved to condemn the military coups in the three countries and to impose sanctions on them. Experts believe that there are solutions in the medium and long terms for solving the crisis in the regional economic body.
The issues I mentioned earlier of pan-Africanism, of resource nationalism, of ensuring that people are carried along in decision-making processes, of ensuring that there is equitable distribution of resources, of ensuring that people have access to the good things of life, of ensuring that the dividends of governance is brought to the people, must be addressed.
As one of the least developed regions in the world, the Sahel faces a multitude of challenges, including poverty, food security, poor governance and insecurity. Experts say some of these challenges are a matter of great concern, not just for the Sahel, but for the whole of Africa and beyond. They also noted that skillful diplomacy must be employed in addressing the exit of the three West African regions from the ECOWAS. Danjum Abdullahi, Abuja.
That's all for this news broadcast from Tehran. Thank you for being with us.
A diverse range of programs, spirituality, youth, Eastern Tales, Roundtable Discussions, Culture, Politics, all produced by IRIB English Radio.
Tell a little about yourself.
I'm Eric Shumanandi from India.
I was born actually in London, England.
I'm a journalist by profession.
I'm 20 years old and I'm a student of physics. My dad, who taught me the art of life.
Listeners special.
In the name of God, the All-Compassionate, the All-Merciful. Salam, dear listeners, and warmest greetings to you all. Welcome to another edition of Listeners Special on this beautiful Sunday, February 25th, 2024. I'm Atefe Erfani, hosting this program today. And congratulations, everyone, on the birth anniversary of the last and 12th era of Prophet Muhammad, the savior of mankind, Imam Mahdi, peace upon him, who will reappear in the end times to establish the global government of peace, prosperity, and justice. Amen. Welcome back. This is Listeners Special, and we've received reception reports from around the world, from Harry Madhugula from India, from Bashir Ahmad from Bangladesh, and from Arthur Fernandez from Spain. Harry, Bashir, and Arthur, thank you for your support and commitment to IRIB English Radio. As you may know, these reception reports enable us to provide a better service for you, dear listeners, because it helps us promote the quality of our programs. And we've received emails and letters from around the world, from Harry Madhugula from India, from Jay Hodgepens from Belgium, and from Muhammad Aslam from India, which later during the program, I will read these emails and letters. Stay with us, please. What a day it is! Congratulations, everyone, on the birth anniversary of the savior of mankind, Imam Mahdi, peace upon him, who will reappear in the end times to cleanse the earth from the vestiges of corruption, exploitation, and oppression. And guess what? You may have heard the proverb, Isfahan is half of the world, which refers to the huge number of Isfahan's natural and historic sites, so that it encompasses half of the world's beauties. The magnificent mansions and palaces, marvelous bridges, unique mosques, and amazing gardens are what awaits you in the city of Isfahan in Iran. One of the most well-known features of Isfahan is Siosepol, which is the widest bridge over the Zayanderud River, connects also north and south of the city of Isfahan. The beauties of Zayanderud River have engendered building magnificent bridges in Isfahan. Siosepol's size, central location, and unique architecture have made it the most renowned and longest one among the 11 bridges in Isfahan, actually. That is a reason why you should not miss visiting Siosepol in Isfahan. So as is clear, in this edition of Listeners Special, we are going to talk about Siosepol Bridge in Isfahan. So before that, let's see Harry Madhugula from India has said. Harry has sent us a piece of email. Harry says, Dear friends at IRIB English Radio, my name is Harry Madhugula and I am writing to you from Hyderabad, India. I was able to receive your signals in my area. The program on air was Listeners Special and I enjoyed listening to this program. If my reception reports correspond with your session log, I should be pleased to receive your verification QSL of my reception. Please include our club address in your mailing list for sending future communications. Thanks and regards. First of all, salam and warm greetings to you, Harry Madhugula from India, and many thanks for writing this email to us at IRIB English Radio. It's good to hear that you were able to receive the signals of IRIB English Radio in your area. So, You could catch the program Listeners Special, which is broadcast on Sundays. It's good to hear that. You know, letting us know what you think about our programs really make us happy and actually help us promote the quality of our programs. We wish you all the best. Please accept our electronic QSL as verification to this email. Hari Madhugula from India, thank you again. We are looking forward to hearing from you very soon. So after a short break, I will be back with you. So, I was saying, you might wonder, what is the deal with the bridge's name? I mean, Siyose Pol. Siyose in Farsi language means 33, due to the 33 arches of this bridge. And Pol means bridge. So, Siyose Pol means 33 arches. The remarkable point about Siyose Pol is, it is the largest Iranian construction on water. 33 Bridge or Siyose Pol is not a typical bridge for people just to pass and reach their destination. It is a destination itself. It is considered as one of the greatest social and recreational centers in Isfahan too. You can roam around the pedestrian and enjoy the delightful scenery of the river and bridge. As a result, it is a great place to practice living in the moment. This amazing two-story bridge is where people go there, read poems, sing songs, and enjoy the night sky over the amazing Zayanderud River. Right, in the southern part of the Chaharbagh Avenue, they built the bridge 1602 with a length of 298 meters and a width of 14 meters long. The amazing lighting on the bridge has made it a shining spot, attracting so many visitors and tourists at night. A sidewalk on the top and another one near the water level with a ceiling are two places where people can stay still for a while and enjoy the beauties of the surrounding area. So, let's see what our listener from Belgium says. This is an email from Hojbens. Hojbin says, "Dear IRIB, I have much pleasure in informing you that I heard your station and I hope you will be interested in my reception report. Will you please check the reception with your station log, and if correct, please verify it by your QSL verification. Many thanks for your kind attention." First of all, salam and warm greetings to you from Tehran, the capital of the Islamic Republic of Iran. Appreciations to you for this email. Jay Hojbens from Belgium. I'm sorry if I do pronounce your name incorrectly, so let us know if I mispronounce your name. Hojbens from Belgium, of course. It's a pleasure for us to receive your reception report. Many thanks for letting us know that you were able to receive the signals of IRIB English Radio, so please accept our electronic QSL as confirmation to this email. So we are looking forward to hearing from you very soon and hearing your views about our programs. Write to us soon and tell us your views about our programs. Thank you again, Jay Hojbens from Belgium. So after a short break, I will be back with you. Welcome back. This is Listeners Special, and we were talking about Siyose Pol. You know, the architect of this bridge, Siyose Pol, Hossein Bano Isfahani has picked the widest part of the bridge where water is at the lowest level. The bridge is built of stone, saruj, plaster and brick so that it will not be broken in circumstances of high pressures and humidity. Great. See, walk on the beautiful bridge with peace of mind. There is nothing to worry about. Symmetry and repetition are the two factors of Iranian architecture and have been observed meticulously in the structure of Siyosepol. While the Siyosepol is a stunning example of Iran's rich architectural heritage, there are many more such marvels across Iran and Isfahan. Let me tell you one thing. Spring and fall are more suitable times to visit Siyosepol. The best time of the day to visit Siyosepol is evenings and nights, where you can get in the middle of local people's lives and see how they spend the leisure time singing on the bridge, reading poems, and chatting. In short, visiting Siyosepol must be an inevitable part of your journey to Iran. There is not just the architectural masterpiece you will see, there are many untold stories and unread poems behind this bridge. You just need to pause for a few minutes and capture the transient flow of life on this bridge. Have a deep breath and pause. You will be amazed by all the beauty. So, it is right that they say Isfahan is half of the world, which refers to the huge number of Isfahan's natural and historic sites, so it encompasses half of the world beauties. Here we have an email from Muhammad Aslam from India. Let's see what Muhammad says. Dear IRIP staff, thank you for giving a reply to your listeners. I appreciate your staff and the programs you air in shortwave every day. I'm glad that I can hear your radio since the reception is fine at my area here in India. Thank you. Salam and warmest greetings to you from Tehran. Muhammad Aslam from India, and thank you very much for writing to us. Thank you for your support and commitment to IRIB English Radio. Your loyalty, let us tread this path better than before. Please accept our electronic QSL as confirmation to this email. Write to us soon and tell us your views about our programs. Thank you again, Muhammad Aslam from India. And here we come to the end of our today's edition of Listeners Special. Again, congratulations on the birth anniversary of the last and 12th era of Prophet Muhammad, the savior of mankind, Imam Mahdi, peace upon him, who will reappear in the end times to cleanse the earth from the vestiges of corruption, exploitation, and oppression, and establish the global government of peace, prosperity, and justice. We had a good time together in this edition of Listeners Special. Before saying goodbye, I do again do send my warm appreciations and gratitudes to those of you who kindly sent us reception reports as well as emails and letters from around the world, including Harry Madhugula from India, Bashir Ahmad from Bangladesh, Arthur Fernandez from Spain, Muhammad Aslam from India, and Jay Hojibens from Belgium. We wish you all the best. Please keep in touch with us at IRIB English Radio and Listeners Special Program. God bless you and goodbye.
Dear listeners, your opinion is always important to us. We invite you to spend just a few minutes writing us a letter or sending us an email. We will be glad to hear from all of our listeners who have any questions or comments about any of our programs. Our postal address is IRIB English Service, P.O. Box number 19395-6767, Tehran, Islamic Republic of Iran. You can also send us emails to englishradio@irib.ir. Please visit our website at parstoday.ir/en. Our phone number is 0098-21-2201-3720. Thank you all for being with IRIB English Radio.
این چیزی که انسان را مطمئن می کند ذکر خدا، ذکر الله تطمئن می کند.
Be aware, the hearts find rest in Allah's remembrance.
Spring of truth.
Allah, ya Allah, subhanallah. Allah, ya Allah, walhamdulillah. Allah, wa la ilaha illallah. Allah, ya Allah, wallahu akbar.
Imam Khomeini's historic speech outlining the state of affairs of the course of the revolution. Date January 23, 1983. Topic: importance of propagating Islamic culture. Propagation is an issue which is important and sensitive, meaning that the world revolves around propagation. To the extent that our enemies are using the weapon of propaganda, they are not using other means. We too must give great importance to publicity and pay greater attention to it than all available means.
In the name of Allah, the most compassionate, the most merciful. On the subject of victory and its factors, Imam Khomeini rahmatullah alayhi said, "Attention to Almighty God and guarding Islam were the secrets of our victory." Well, this statement of Imam Khomeini rahmatullah alayhi is about the secrets of the victory of the Islamic revolution. As I recited, he saw faith in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and attention to protection of Islam as the key subjects to reach victory. These beliefs of Imam rahmatullah alayhi became the axis of all his decisions, actions and policies. At the beginning of the movement, these beliefs were a source of energy for Imam rahmatullah alayhi. It was these beliefs that gave Imam rahmatullah alayhi the power to enter Tehran in those conditions. These beliefs were exhibited in the events that happened during Bahman of 1357. And the establishment of the Islamic Republic, in his open resistance against the oppressive global order, in the slogan of neither East nor the West, in the imposed war, and in all the events that took place in those eventful 10 years of Imam's life. Faith in God and trust in religion were the basis of Imam's decisions, actions, and policies. These beliefs kept Imam rahmatullah alayh young and vibrant. They consolidated Imam's thought and path for our nation, and then these beliefs gradually spread among our people, our youth and individuals from different social backgrounds. Those beliefs created hope, they created self-confidence, they resulted in reliance on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. These things replaced despair and pessimism.
يا ربنا صل على طه النبي وآله
صلى الله عليه
صل
يا رسول الله
طه النبي وآله
the people of Iran changed their characteristics and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala changed their conditions, just as He promised in His Holy Book of Quran. A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Inna Allah la yughayyiru ma biqawmin hatta yughayyiru ma bi anfusihim. Surely Allah does not change the condition of a people until they change their own conditions. Surah Ar-Ra'd, verse number 11. The people of Iran reformed their path, their movement and their motives, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala helped and supported them. What was the result? The result was that Iran became an independent country. Thank you very much for being with us in this episode of Spring of the Truth. And until another one, I bid you farewell and may Allah protect you all.
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله.
Every night and every day, never forget to say La ilaha
Iranian Radio, Global Mission. This is IRIB English Radio.
From the point of view of the Islamic Republic of Iran's constitution. The right to vote and the right to determine one's fate are among the fundamental rights highlighted in the Constitution of the Islamic Republic of Iran. Basically, people's rights are pivotal issues emphasized in political systems of many countries. Chapter 3 of Iran's Constitution, 2, is about the rights of the nation. A variety of rights of people and their social freedoms and their boundaries are mentioned in this chapter. Stay with us to review the rights and freedoms clarified in this chapter. The rights named in Chapter 3 of Iran's constitution are as follows. The right of equality before the law for all regardless of their skin color, race and language. Equal support for men and women to enjoy all human, political, economic and cultural rights while observing Islamic codes. The right to enjoy judicial security and immunity. Prevention of torture, banning of desecration and harassment. The right of freedom of expression, writing and press within the boundaries mentioned in Islam. the right to enjoy group freedom such as formation of parties, political and vocational associations and holding of rallies, the right of intellectual and ideological freedoms and banning of inquisition, the right to choose your job, the right to enjoy social security, the right to enjoy free education, the right to have a house in proportion with one's needs, the right to choose place of residence, the right to a lawsuit, to refer to qualified court, and choosing a lawyer. The Constitution of the Islamic Republic of Iran has specified political principles, structures, hierarchies, status, and boundaries of government while determining the rights of citizens. This constitution has cast a special look at the right to elect and determine officials and national fate. According to Article 6 of the Constitution of the Islamic Republic of Iran, the affairs of the country are run relying on public votes. This article stresses that people's participation in is practiced via elections or referendums, including election of the president, members of the majlis or the parliament, and city and village councils. Accordingly, the system of elections in Iran, the two key officials of the Islamic Republic, namely the leader of the Islamic Revolution and the president of the Islamic Republic of Iran, are elected with people's direct and indirect votes respectively. The Islamic Council Assembly or the majlis and the assembly of experts are also formed by direct votes of the people. The majlis is almost the same as parliament in many countries, while the assembly of experts, which has a term of 8 years, has the duty of supervising the performance of the leader of the Islamic Revolution and appointment of a new one in the case of need. According to Article 107 of Iran's constitution, the determination of the leader is the duty of the Assembly of Experts. In view of this, the members of the Assembly of Experts consult about all jurisprudence, whose qualifications are accepted according to Article 5 and 109, and choose the best one fitting with the qualifications. Article 111 of the Constitution mentions supervision on leadership as another duty of the Assembly of Experts. Accordingly, this body continuously supervises the leader's performance in various spheres. It is explicated that whenever the leader fails to fulfill his duties or lacks one of the conditions for leadership, the Assembly of Experts dismisses him. Another manifestation of administration of the affairs of country by people is the aforementioned majlis or parliament. The majlis is the lawmaking branch of power. The lawmakers are elected for 4 years by the Iranian people. Considering the role and status of people in administration of affairs of the country, according to Article 69 of Iran's constitution, the sessions of the majlis should be public and the complete report of the debates should be published via official television and radio. Yet, for security reasons in special circumstances, closed sessions of the parliament are held. The ratifications of closed sessions are valid only in the presence of the members of the Guardian Council, while they receive 3 to 4 of the votes of members. The reports and ratifications of these sessions are released to the public after removal of emergency conditions. Article 69 of Iran's constitution is in fact a protector of people's status in administration of the country's affairs. Accordingly, each and every one of the nation should be informed of the issues and ratifications of the debates of the Majlis in detail. Another duty of the Iranian Parliament, the Majlis, is to approve or disapprove the ministers proposed by the President. The parliamentarians can also impeach the members of the cabinet. Article 86 of the Constitution reiterates that lawmakers are quite free to express their views and cannot be judicially prosecuted for what they say at the Parliament in the position of a lawmaker. This article implies that a legislator in the Islamic Republic of Iran is completely free to defend people's rights and national interests, and there is no judicial confinement for him or her. The Islamic Republic has just witnessed the presence of tens of millions of people in the 45th anniversary of the glorious victory of the Islamic Revolution. Now people are getting prepared for holding another round of parliamentary elections and elections to the Assembly of Experts. These elections will be held on 1st of March. People proved in their celebrations on 11th of February that what they are committed to, the values and achievements of the revolution, in spite of all barriers and problems. You have just listened to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran broadcasting. The Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran is broadcast daily from 1520 to 1620 UTC on the following frequencies. 31 meters, 9650 kHz for the Indian subcontinent, and FM 91.5 MHz for Tehran. You can also listen to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran on IranSat or BAT 5 and Intelsat 39 and via the internet. Our internet address is pasttoday.ir/en. And now you can listen to Arabi English Radio by your mobile phone. Please refer to our website for the details. Send your correspondence to the English program, PO Box 19395-6767, Tehran, Islamic Republic of Iran, or email us to englishradio@irib.ir. We would be very pleased to have your comments about our audio quality and other means. Thank you.
Follow us on social media to stay up to date on the latest global developments. You can keep in touch with us by following us on Twitter at twitter.com/parstodayen. You can also follow IRIB English Radio on Instagram via instagram.com/parstodayenglish.
Here I am, pleading at your door. Send me your mercy, send me your peace, or I am lost for sure.
Hadith of the day.
Here I am, yearning for your cure. This humble servant will be diverted from you no more, no more, no more.
You're listening to the program Hadith of the Day with Sheikh Rouhani on IRIB English Radio.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Thumma salatu wa salamu ala Sayyidina wa Mawlana Abil Qasim al-Mustafa Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Dear and respected brothers and sisters, assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. In this program of the Hadith of the Day, due to the occasion of the birthday anniversary of Imam al-Asr wa Hun Hafidah, first of all, I should congratulate you on this birth anniversary of the Imam. And then, of course, I want to recite some of the beautiful hadith, or hadith is from the Ahlul Bayt alayhim salatu wasalam, about the Imam al-Asr wa Hun Hafidah, particularly his ghaybah and also his the way that how should we deal with the phase of ourselves in the time of ghaybah, and what is the best, for example, deed in the time of ghaybah from the according to the hadith of the Ahlul Bayt alayhim salatu wassalam. First of all, let me recite some of the very, very beautiful hadith from Imam Ridha alayhi salatu wassalam. The holy Imam Ridha alayhi alafu tahiyyati wa salam is reported to have said, often due to the lackness of a specific water, many a faithful man or woman would actually err and be disappointed with Hadrat Hujjah alayhi salatu wa salam. And then this Imam alayhi salatu wa salam, regarding intidhar al-faraj, waiting for the advent, he mentions actually a very beautiful hadith saying that afdalu a'mali ummati. He says that Imam Ridha alayhi salatu wa salam has quoted the noble prophet saying that afdalu a'mali ummati intidhar al-faraj, intidhar faraj Allah azza wa jal. Imam Ridha alayhi salatu wasalam narrated from the Holy Prophet wasalam, that the Holy Prophet wasalam said, the best of actions of my community, of my ummah and nation, is waiting for the relief toward God, the Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then what is this relief? This faraj is the reappearance of the 12th infallible Imam, that inshallah we may be blessed with the reappearance, with the hudur of this Imam inshallah at the end of the history, and of course this is what is promised by Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the Prophet and the Ahlul Bayt alayhim alafu tahiyyati wassalatu wassalam. And then of course in another hadith from the Amir al-Mu'mineen regarding this Imam says that wait for the advent and do not be disappointed with the mercy of Allah, for the best action before Allah is to wait for the advent. It says that فَإِنَّ أَحَبَّ الْأَعْمَالِ إِلَى اللَّهِ عَزَّ وَجَلْ إِنْتِظَارُ الْفَرَجِ. Amir al-Mu'mineen also says that إِنْتِظَارُ الْفَرَجِ, waiting for the advent, is the best deed that one can perform at the time of ghaiba, at the time of occultation, the major occultation of the noble Imam alayhi alafu tahiyyati wassalam. Thank you very much. Wa akhiru da'wana and alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Wassalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
That was Sheikh Rouhani in the program Hadith of the Day on IRIB English Radio.
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد اللهم صل على محمد.